The Anglican Church in the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands presents Insight, a program sponsored by the Anglican Churchman.
Jesus said, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Good evening, and welcome to Insight. I am your host, Reverend Canon S. Sebastian Campbell, Rector of St. Gregory the Great, Carmichael Road, New Providence, Bahamas. We do welcome all of you on board. Today is Advent Sunday. We start a brand new church's year. It is a new year for the church, and so we say Happy New Year as the church goes into this new year of celebration as a church. Let us sing the hymn now, O come, Emmanuel. Brothers and sisters, what is Advent? For many Christians unfamiliar with the liturgical year, there may be some confusion surrounding the meaning of the Advent season. Some people may know that Advent season focuses on expectation and think that it serves as an anticipation of Christ's birth in the season leading up to Christmas. This is part of the story, but there's more to Advent. The word Advent is derived from the Latin Adventus, meaning coming, which is a translation of the Greek word parousia. Scholars believe that during the 4th and 5th centuries in Spain and Gaul, Advent was a season of preparation for the baptism of new Christians at the January feast of Epiphany, the celebration of God's incarnation represented by the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus. His baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, and his first miracle at Cana. During this season of preparation, Christians would spend 40 days in penance, prayer, and fasting to prepare for this celebration. Originally, there was little connection between Advent and Christmas. By the 6th century, however, Roman Christians had tied Advent to the coming of Christ, but the coming they had in mind was not Christ's first coming in the manger in Bethlehem, but his second coming in the clouds as the judge of the world. It was not until the Middle Ages that the Advent season was explicitly linked to Christ's first coming at Christmas. And so, rightly understood, we prepare, we celebrate his first coming, and we prepare for his second coming as King and Judge. And therefore, the color purple is the color of royalty. It says to us, the King is coming. Let us hear now words from the Gospel for the day that comes from St. Luke chapter 21 and 25. Jesus says there'll be strange things happening to the sun, the moon, and the stars. On earth, whole countries will be in despair, afraid of the roar of the sea and the raging tides. People will faint from fear as they wait for what is coming over the whole earth. For the powers in space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear, coming in a cloud with great power and glory. When these things begin to happen, stand up and raise your heads, because your salvation is near. Then Jesus told them this parable. Think of the fig tree and all the other trees. When you see their leaves beginning to appear, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is about to come. Remember that all these things will take place before the people now living have all died. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful not to let yourselves become occupied with too much feasting and drinking, and with the worries of this life, or that day may suddenly catch you like a trap, for it will come upon all peoples everywhere on earth. Be on watch and pray always that you will have the strength to go safely through all those things that will happen and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of Christ. Indeed, praise to Christ our Lord. My brothers and sisters, what does all of this say to us? I always love Advent because Advent was a time of expectation, anticipation, and excitement. Yes, it meant Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, but it also meant grandparents and parents and mummy and daddy and toys, Santa Claus. I look forward to the future one day at a time. Then something happened. Somewhere along the way, life got really real and Advent changed. Advent was no longer just the season before Christmas, a countdown. Instead, it began to describe the reality of my life and world. The gospel texts about the destruction of the temple, war, earthquakes, famines, plagues, and betrayals, just read in Luke 21, took on new and often very personal meanings. Advent became a season of change, letting go, and looking to a future that was not yet clear or known. I'm not exactly sure when it began or how it happened, but I know it did. All the signs were there. It might have been waking up with the world each morning of the past week and wondering what's next. Where will it happen? When will it take place? There'll be signs, Jesus said. It might have been any one of these, all of them, or a thousand other things just like them. These are just a few of my Advent stories, stories about how my life has been changed and the world as I had known it ended. Advent, yes, is a season when we contemplate the reality of death, Jesus' coming as King and Judge. And so, rightly so, in many of our churches, we still concentrate on the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And we sing that beautiful Advent litany at this time to bring us face to face with the reality that death comes. And then what? We face Jesus as King and as Judge. What are your Advent stories? I'll bet all of you have some Advent story. What Advent means to you. What it has meant to you. Maybe even from childhood. Maybe until now. I'll bet you could tell stories about the day your life was changed and your world ended. I'll bet you have lived through seasons of change, letting go, and stepping into an uncertain future. Maybe even a future you did not want. There will be signs, Jesus said. More than ever, our world needs to see the signs. The longer I live, the more I see and experience, the more I realize how necessary those signs are. I want to be reminded that the signs are there. Every Advent story is accompanied by signs. Jesus says, if we look, we'll see the signs everywhere. In the sun, the moon, the stars, in the distress among Earth's nations, and the roaring of the sea and its waves. I certainly saw the signs that night in my office on the day when my mother died, albeit more clearly now than that. I can see them today in the pictures of refugees and in the world's violence. I have no doubt you're seeing the signs too in your life and in the world. Maybe at the death of some loved one, a father, mother, brother, sister, and you wonder what it means. You saw it when your world came crashing down. At some point, you lost your job. Your marriage ended in divorce. Broken relationships with your siblings. Broken relationship with your best friend. You've seen it happen. Maybe when your political party lost power. Yes, when your world came crashing down. You saw signs. They're everywhere. And they're not hard to spot. They are, however, too easily and quickly misunderstood and misused. There will be signs. Are words of hope and reassurance, but far too often they are heard as words of warning and threat. And when they are, the signs are used to predict a future of impending doom and loss. They become indicators that the world will end and you better shape up. God is going to get you. All misunderstanding the signs pushes us further into the darkness and deeper into our fear. All misuse of the signs blinds us to the coming of the Son of Man with power and great glory. Can we see the signs as God breaking through in our lives and ready to show us a new thing? To allow God to be God. There will be signs and not Jesus' words of warning and threats. Jesus does not ask us to predict the future. He never says these are the signs that the end of the world has come. Instead, he says that when we see the signs, we are to stand up, raise our heads, and know that help is on the way. Our redemption, our healing, our Savior draws near. Jesus comes to us in the brokenness of life. These are the signs when we ought to see Jesus and know that He is able to walk on troubled seas and mend broken lives. The signs are not a reason to hang our head in despair or shrink from life. That we can see the signs in our lives and world means that the circumstances we face and the events that happen contain and reveal the promise or redemption draweth nigh. Christ comes. The signs are our hope and reassurance that God has not abandoned us, that God notices us, that God cares, comes to, and participates in our life circumstances. The signs in our lives say, let go, let God. Jesus' parable of the fig tree teaches us how to read the signs. The Advent signs are as ordinary and common as a fig tree sprouting leaves. We see the leaves and we know something is happening. Summer is already near. It's a new season with new life, new growth, new fruit. That is the promise and good news of the Advent signs. And yet that promise, that good news, is fulfilled not apart from but in and through the reality of our life's circumstances and our world's events, no matter how difficult or tragic they may be. So what if we look on our lives and our world and we began to read and understand the signs in our Advent stories as sprouting leaves, hope? What would we see? What would it mean? It would mean that the kingdom of God is near. It would mean we are entering a new season. We would see new life, new growth. We would produce new fruit. We could open the doors of our life with new courage and confidence. We could look on the world with a new sense of compassion and hope. We would be strengthened to do the work God has given us to do, knowing that Jesus is present in the midst of all our signs. Let us sing to Him now. Hark, a trilling voice is sounding. My brothers and sisters, we pray God for all those churches in and around our diocese celebrating patronal festivals at this time. I ask your prayers especially for churches dedicated to St. Andrew's. Tuesday, the 30th of November, is St. Andrew's Day, a red letter day, when we celebrate St. Andrew, the first called to be an apostle, and the one who went and brought his brother to Jesus. We have St. Andrew's in Otterstown in Cat Island, that church where I was taught the faith, where I was baptized, where I was confirmed, where I knew Jesus for the first time. We send greetings to Father Dave Thomas and the good people there as they celebrate their patronal festival in beautiful Otterstown in Kent Island. St. Andrew's in Vims, Long Island, the church that produced the first Bahamian to become a bishop, Bishop Donald R. Knowles, who became Bishop of the Diocese of Antigua, now known as the Diocese of Necker, Northeast Caribbean, and Aruba. We pray for the diocese as it prepares now for an election of a new bishop. And so we send greetings, Father Heal, Philip Heal, and the good people there at St. Andrew's in Wims, one of my favorite churches. We had some 12 persons on register when I served as parish priest there some 40 years ago. And indeed, we always got 100% turnout. St. Andrew's in beautiful Georgetown, Exuma, on top of the hill. Yeah, Shaitan Thompson and Reverend Father Bain, we send greetings to you as you celebrate your patronal festival in that beautiful cathedral on the hill in Georgetown. I ask your prayers also for clergymen celebrating the anniversaries on Tuesday, for myself as I celebrate my 40th anniversary of ordination to the diaconate. Feels just like yesterday. Reverend Canon Harry Ward, he celebrates his 44th anniversary to the diaconate on St. Andrew's Day. Reverend Canon Delano Archer, he's the old man of the group. He's celebrating 48 good years as a priest on that day. Reverend Dr. Roland Hamilton, 33 years to the priesthood on St. Andrew's Day. And Reverend Dr. James Moultrie will be celebrating his 26th anniversary of ordination to the priesthood on St. Andrew's Day. We pray God's richest blessings. I ask you to pray God's richest blessings on us as we celebrate on this beautiful day, St. Andrew's Day, the 30th of November. Shall we say a prayer for St. Andrew? Almighty God, who gave such grace to your Apostle Andrew, that he readily obeyed the call of your Son, Jesus Christ, and brought his brother with him, give us, we who are called by your holy word, grace to follow him without delay, and to bring those near to us into his gracious presence, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing to him, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult, o'er this world's wild restless sea. Let us pray. Collect for Advent Sunday. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, that of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest, abide, and keep you this night henceforth and forevermore. Amen. We sing the hymn, Lo, he comes with clouds descending.